our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
Why do you love your nephew or your niece? Just because they look so precious? No. You love your nephew and you love your niece because you love their mother and father. Why do grandparents love their grandchildren? Because the grandchildren are so super special in some way? No. They love the grandchildren because they love their mothers and fathers. If you love God, it should naturally follow that you love His children.
If we naturally show love for our physical families, would it not make sense that we should naturally show love toward our spiritual families? Would it not make sense to love those whom God loved and for whom Christ died? Can we say that we love God without showing love for His children?
In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, John writes, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him." Now, I don't think that this passage is really too difficult to get into when we consider what those who lived back then knew about the word believe. I don't think it's too difficult really for us today when we stop and consider what the word believe actually means. We know that believeth, that word believeth, is to maintain a kind of a belief that the New Testament teaches us. And we need to make sure, too, that we don't lose the context of what this verse is talking about either. Every verse has its context. And so, what is the context of the Bible, and what is this direct context here? Well, let's look at it for a minute. I believe that this passage, if we put this passage right here about belief, right up about belief of James chapter 2. In fact, let's just go over there. If you have your Bibles, go over to James chapter 2, and let's look at beginning in verse 14. We're going to say some things here about belief. James 2:14, "What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Now, let's just keep our finger right here. It said, faith without works is dead. Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, is he talking about a dead belief? A belief that just says, okay, I'll believe that, no problem. And then he just goes on and lives his life doing whatever he wants to do? Of course not. This is an active belief, an active faith. It is the one who says, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and not only does he believe it, he lives his life accordingly. We learn that also in the book of James chapter 2 as we continue reading from the life of Abraham. He says in verse 21, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? That the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abram believed God." See, there's the word believed. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now that is found all the way back in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, that he believed God. But he did not prove that faith all the way until Genesis chapter 22. So in Genesis chapter 15, 40 years before Abraham even offered Isaac, it says that Abraham believed God. So he believed God. But when he did finally offer Isaac as a sacrifice, only then was the scripture fulfilled. It was filled up. It was made whole. The scripture wasn't all the way filled full until he did what God said. So Abraham believed in chapter 15, but he didn't complete his faith until he did what God told him to do all the way over in chapter 22. He did not have that completed faith until he did what God said. That's what we're talking about with belief. It's not just a belief that says, okay, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a belief that causes me to so live my life that I will continually do what God says. The same was said of Rahab too. In verse 24 and 25, you see that how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth, that continual belief that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth also him that is begotten of him. The word believeth here holds with it that continual action, that continual belief. Well, that means that God, whatever God tells you and I to do, we are to do it on a daily basis. I sometimes use this analogy about going to see a doctor. Suppose with me for just a moment that you're very, very sick, but you know your doctor, you've visited your doctor many times before, and I come over to your house as you're on your way to your doctor, and I say, oh, I hear you're very sick, and you say, yes, but I believe my doctor is going to heal me. I believe that my doctor will make me better. I say, are you sure you believe that? Oh, yes, I believe that my doctor will make me better. Now you get to your doctor, and he does the test, and he does whatever he does, and he says, I see what's wrong with you. Let me just go ahead and give you this prescription. You're going to take two of these pills every day for the next 2 months. Every single day, you're going to have to take these two pills in order for you to get better. Now, did you believe that he had the ability to heal you? Well, yes, you believed it. Did he tell you something that you needed to do in order to be saved from your ailment? Yes, he told you you needed to take those pills. But now, suppose you say, well, I believed and that was good enough. No, 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 no. You had to then show your faith in your doctor. How? By going and getting those pills and every single day taking those pills. You see, your belief didn't stop by just saying, oh, I believe. Your belief is followed through in your action. If you were to walk out of that doctor's office and never take those pills, you're actually showing, your words might say, oh, I believe in my doctor, but your actions are showing that you really don't believe in him. And so we're saying the same thing here about this kind of belief, about this kind of faith. In the first century especially, if a person heard something and they believed it, they would then in turn obey it. He would act upon his belief. You and I need to be the same way about Christ. The word believeth here is that present tense. We've talked about this many times in this book. It is that keeping on believing, keeping on doing what God says. That is how you know who is a child of God and who is not. So he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. The word loveth here is also that present tense. It's that continuous loving. We are to continue believing and we are to continue loving. Let's look at this reasoning here. You know, he said in chapter 4, it is impossible to love God but to not love his children. If you love God, then you naturally would love the children. And so here I am a Christian and I say, oh, I sure do love God. It naturally follows then that I should love his children, meaning my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so he says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Friend, how do I know if I love God? I mean, someone might just say, oh, I love God. A lot of people have said before, oh, I love God, but then they don't live their lives by it. I want to know how I can really know if someone loves God. Well, there's two requisites here, two things that we can are required here. One is, I must love his children. The second one is, I must keep his commandments. We know we love God if we do what he says. We love his children if we love the Father. And I know if I love the children of God, then I love God. And if I love God, I will keep his commandments. Let me ask you a question. Probably most people listening will have nephews or nieces. Why do you love your nephew or your niece? Just because they look so precious? No. Just because they look better than any baby that's ever been born? No. You love your nephew and you love your niece because you love their mother and father. Why do grandparents love their grandchildren? Because the grandchildren are so super special in some way? No. They love the grandchildren because they love their mothers and fathers. If you love God, it should naturally follow that you love His children. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Want to know if your love for God is genuine? I can tell you if it is by how you treat one another. It is a circular love. You love God, you love your brethren. Your brothers love you, and they love God. And so it's a big circle here, and we could call it like a circle of love because we all love each other, and we all love God, and we do this all at the same time. When we do what God says, we're showing our love for God and for one another. So it's all connected together. There are those, however, who say, well, I tell you what, I love God, but you know, I don't really do what the Bible says all the time. I mean, I love God, but really you think God doesn't want me to do such and such? Well, listen, it might sound pleasing in your ears to hear someone say, well, I love God, but I don't do what the Bible says. That might sound pleasing to your ears, but I can tell you right now, it's foreign from God. It is completely foreign from anything Scriptures has to say about it. This is, if you love God, you keep the commandments. You do His word. God says if you love Him, you will do what He says. You say, well, I won't do what God says, but I love Him. Well, let's get this straight. God says, in order for you to show your love for me, do what I say. You say, oh, I love you, but I won't do what you say. Which of you is right, you or God? Well, I think I'm going to go with God on that. This is the love of God, He says in verse 3, that if we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. The only way we can demonstrate that we love God is to do what He says. Folks, there is no way for you to show your love for somebody other than to do what you know they want done. If your spouse doesn't like chocolate, even though the rest of the world likes chocolate, if your spouse is allergic to chocolate and Valentine's Day comes around, you better not go get your spouse chocolate. Why? Because you love your spouse. You say, well, the rest of the world likes chocolate, so my spouse should. No, no, no. You love your spouse, so you do what they ask you to do, not what the rest of the world tells you to do. And it's the same with Christ Jesus as well.